When I was a new Christian, we used to sing a chorus. I came here when I was a teenager. I came to the youth club, and I became a Christian through the youth club here. So I've been coming here for longer than I care to remember. But one of the choruses we used to sing, and if you've been a Christian a long time, like me, you possibly know this one. It was, "We are heirs of the Father." I'm going to try and be clever and sing it now. So, "We are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. We are children of the kingdom. We are family. We are one." When I was a new Christian, that meant so much to me. The thought of being family with this whole new group of people was so special. We are family. We are one. Today we're going to continue our series on being church. This week we're looking at church is a family. Brian found this picture because we found some with photos, but it was the wrong people. It wasn't us people, it was people from other churches, so I thought a cartoon thing was better. But we are family. Doesn't matter where we come from, we are family as a church. We're looking at church is a family, the family of God. We're going to unpack that a bit, looking into Scripture to find where it tells us we are family and find out what difference that makes to us individually and as a community. Let's start in Romans 8, where we'll find the verse that song is based on. "Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. You have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father." And Abba, just let me interject, is Aramaic for a very close relationship. Daddy, it probably means more than that. But the way we feel when we say daddy, if we had a good relationship with our dad. "Now we call him Abba, Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering." Did you see that bit? "Since we are his children, we are heirs. Together with Christ, heirs of God's glory. We are adopted into God's family. We are children of God." Let me read you a little bit from the notes in my study Bible. In Roman culture, an adopted child gained all the rights of a legitimate child in his or her new family. Such a child became a full heir to his or her new father's estate. Likewise, when a person becomes a Christian, he or she gains all the privileges of a child in God's family. As Florin mentioned, we're going through the Alpha course at the moment. And last week, we talked about, the video talked about something that really fits in here. So we're going to watch a clip from the Alpha course.
"When I first became a Christian, I thought, this is it, I've arrived. And someone had to explain to me that actually, this is the beginning. It's like when a baby's born, it's not the end. I mean, it's a wonderful moment when a baby's born. But we don't say, well, that's it, we're all finished here. It's just the start, the beginning of a new life. When you come to faith, you are adopted into God's family and you become a son or a daughter of God. In Romans 8, 14-15, St. Paul writes, "Those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption. And by him we cry, Abba, Father." Paul was writing in a culture of Roman law, where adoption into a Roman family was considered the greatest privilege. And Paul is saying that spiritually, through the Holy Spirit, you have been adopted into God's family. You are a son or a daughter of God. And not only a son or a daughter, you're also heirs, and there is no higher status. As Paul writes in Romans 8, verse 17, "Now if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." Now, if we identify with Christ, then it may mean that we face rejection or opposition, but that's nothing compared to the inheritance that we will receive. And there is no greater security than being an heir of God and a co-heir with Christ. But the Holy Spirit doesn't only transform our identity, he also brings about the closest possible relationship with our Heavenly Father. Romans 8:15 ends with the words, "And by him we cry, Abba, Father." Now, you may hear the word Abba and immediately think of the Swedish pop group, but it's actually an Aramaic word and it's virtually untranslatable. It's like saying dad or daddy or papa, but not childish, but very intimate. And it's never used in the Old Testament to describe our relationship with God, but Jesus used it to describe his connection with the Father. And then amazingly, he said, "You too can call God Abba. You can have the same intimate relationship."
Picked up on all the bits that I'd been saying, didn't it? Once we become a Christian, we're encouraged to become more like Jesus. He's our example to follow. And if we are his brothers and sisters, there should be some family likeness. Unlike our natural brothers and sisters, the likeness isn't in our facial features, but in our character, the way we behave, the attitudes we have. How do we become like him? By nurturing our relationship with him. In our private lives, reading the Bible, praying. Together, corporately, in worship, in listening to God's word being taught and explained, in praying together. I honestly think, for me, one of the times I've grown most in my faith is when meeting to pray with others, especially as a new Christian. I learn how to pray by listening to others praying, agreeing with their prayers, and then gaining the confidence to pray out loud myself. When we gather together, God, as he promised, meets with us, and we learn to listen to him too. I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. My parents didn't model Bible study or prayer. But my spiritual family, my church family, has been my training ground, where I've learnt to read, understand, and study the Bible. We learn a lot as we discuss passages together, mulling over passages, comparing ideas. Again, God promises to be there when we meet together, and he prompts our thoughts. Becoming like Jesus also came up on the Alpha last Sunday. So let's watch another clip.
Spend time in the presence of God. The Spirit transforms us and we become more like Jesus. Have you ever noticed that the more time you spend with someone, you sort of become more like them? You pick up their mannerisms and their habits. Paul writes, "And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." And in becoming more like Jesus, the Spirit develops characteristics in us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The evidence of the Spirit working in our lives is an increasing love for God and for others. And then there's joy. Joy is very different from happiness, because we're not all guaranteed happiness as Christians, because some people have very difficult lives and, well, we all face struggles in one way or another. But what the New Testament promises us is joy, which is far deeper than happiness. And then peace, which is not a superficial peace, but a peace in the midst of trouble, anxiety and struggle. It's a peace which passes understanding. It's like the Spirit of God brings about a family likeness, and as children of God, we share in these characteristics of God. It's the Spirit living in us who helps us to grow in our relationship with God, to grow closer to our Father in heaven.
So it's obviously something we don't have to do on our own, trying to become like Jesus. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit living in us, transforms us and helps us to become more and more like him. And as we get to be more like Jesus, we learn of his meekness, his humility, and his compassion. For those of you who are here, do you remember the Beatitudes series we've just done? We start then to become more like him, to mirror Jesus' characteristics in our lives and in our life together as church family. The book of Acts tells the story of the early church. The disciples, Jesus' followers for the 3 years of his ministry, were now to carry on the work he started. Jesus promised them after his resurrection that God would send them a helper, the Holy Spirit, once Jesus returned to be with his Father. The Holy Spirit would empower and equip them to do even greater things than Jesus did. In Acts, we read how these men and women started to become church, the body of people who would eventually spread the gospel, the good news, throughout the earth. Let's read Acts 2, 42 to 47. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. As they gathered together, these believers were acting as family, sharing meals together, sharing their lives together, looking out for each other. Now, I'm not suggesting that you have to go out and sell everything you've got and come back with the money and we share it all. That's not the way we now work as church, is it? But I am saying that we look out for each other. It's a picture of family life. We look out for each other, we share with each other, we help each other out. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about us all being parts of one body. Now, I know this will come up in another talk in this series, but I just want to look at two verses from that, 25 and 26. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part is honoured, all the parts are glad. That's being family, isn't it? If we are close, if we are family, if we love each other, we suffer when others suffer. We rejoice when others rejoice. We support each other through trials, drawing alongside when people are in need, praying with each other. As Florin said about Julie having to have the operation earlier this week, it's lovely that her little boy Noah has been able to come here this morning and we can look after him here. But we've also been in prayer for her, and if there's anything else that they need, we can help them out. So that's a way of drawing alongside. We also rejoice together, don't we, with others in good times. Let's take, for instance, Abby and Ollie getting married just over a week ago, a week and a half ago. That was a great time of rejoicing for the White family, and we all joined in that rejoicing. As a church family, we've also supported families. When there's a new baby, for instance, we've cooked meals for families. We've helped out as needed. That's being family. Let me end with the words of Paul to the church in Philippi. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright stars in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. I think that's such a good mantra, a thing to think about, to learn how to be family. Look out for each other. Be humble. Think of others as better than yourself. Don't look only to your own interests. Take interest in others. That's being family. Let's be family together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word tells us we are your children, that we can come to you and call you daddy and know that you're always there for us. And I pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning. Father, will you give us such a deep sense of belonging together, of being family? And may we all learn to be there for each other, to look out for each other, to spend time together, to pray together. Help us, Father, to be the family you want us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.